Well, please turn to Genesis chapter number 1. I know Pastor Jeremy's been preaching through Acts. I saw that just this week, and I was like, yes, praise God, this is wonderful. You're already right there. He's set me up perfectly. The big picture of Acts is that the gospel goes. It's spreading to all the world. But the gospel going isn't just in Acts. Did you know that? The gospel going isn't just in the New Testament. Did you know that? We're going to look through a bunch of different passages of Scripture. I have an English Standard Version, ESV translation. I want you to follow along as you can. You might not be able to flip to every single passage because I want you to see the overarching picture, especially in the Old Testament. We'll get into the New Testament a little bit, of the gospel going. So Genesis chapter 1. We're not going to read the whole Bible today, don't worry. Genesis chapter 1. There's two phrases that repeat a lot in this chapter. One is, and God said. So that repeats a lot. What's the second phrase that repeats a lot in this chapter? And God saw that it was good. Yes, Genesis 1:28 says, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. So, just in Genesis chapter 1, everything is good. Go fill the earth. That's the message we get. And God doesn't just give Adam and Eve a garden to live in. In chapter 2, he gives them a river. And I want you to remember this. Keep this in the back of your head. Genesis 2:10, a river flowed out of Eden to water the garden. Just tuck that away for now. God has provided people with everything they need. God's glory is on full display for Adam and Eve to enjoy. And how do people respond? Well, they reject God. Adam and Eve reject God's perfect plan. They reject God. Then Cain rejects God. Then others. And what happens in Genesis chapter 5? Turn over a couple pages. So instead of repeating, and God saw that it was good, and God saw that it was good, what gets repeated in this chapter? Thus, all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Yeah. We're down in verse 5, and going on to verse 6, when Seth had lived 105 years, he fathered Enosh. Verse 8, thus all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Verse 11, Enosh, and he died. Kenan, and he died. Instead of God saying, and it was good, now there's death in the world. It's not good. The world is broken. And like I said earlier, may God give us the grace to feel more than one thing at a time. We can rejoice in his salvation and feel the freedom of life in Christ, but may we also read Genesis 5 and feel the weight of living in a broken world. There's spiritual death. There's judgment. And if we go to Genesis 8, we see judgment in the form of a flood. The world starts over with Noah and his sons. And what happens next? After the flood in the plain of Shinar, now we're in chapter 11. Again, if you can't follow along to all these, I understand. I'm going to keep going fast. Chapter 11, verse 4, they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. That's interesting. I always heard about the Tower of Babel growing up as they're proud. They want to reach God, and that's there. That's true. But there's also, lest we be dispersed. They specifically rejected God's command to go and fill the earth with his glory as image bearers. They refuse to go. Instead, they stay and they build this tower. So God disperses them forcibly by changing their languages. There's an idea of going. Now we get to a really famous example of going in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And verse 4 says, so Abram went. It's the idea of going. And I'm not saying that Abraham was some form of missionary. That's not what the text is saying. But Abraham does obey God by going. And in that way, he's the opposite of all these people at Babel that refuse to go. He's actually following God's good command to spread his glory throughout the whole world. And here we see a little bit more of that in verse number 3. This is God's glorious promise to Abraham. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And listen to this. This is something I've just been learning more about in the last few years, and it's amazing. The end of verse 3 says, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is part of God's plan ever since Genesis. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. That's how Abraham connects with God's mission on earth today. This isn't overstatement. God is promising Abraham all the families of the earth will be blessed by what I'm going to do through you. This isn't something that's already happened, because there's people today, there's people groups that have never heard the name of Jesus. There's people groups that don't have the Bible in their language. They don't have any way of finding out about Jesus unless someone goes. So this connects directly to Matthew 28, where Jesus says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And just a side note, nations isn't an ideal translation there, because when we hear the word nations, we think like political boundaries and like United Nations. That's what goes into our minds. But really, some people have tried to use the phrase people groups as a little better translation there, because that's what it's talking about. Different groups of people, as there's barriers of language, there's barriers of ethnicity. And God says, go to all of them. Just like he promised Abraham, I will bless all the families of the earth. Ever since the beginning, this has been God's plan for the world. Who is the family of Abraham? Well, it's not just Abraham, Sarah, and Isaac. No, it's the people group of Israel. So both in Genesis and in Matthew, we see that God's will is for people from all groups to know him. You might be thinking, well, what about numbers? Numbers of people. Does God care about the numbers of people that we reach? Well, yes. We know that because he cares about individual people. So he's also going to care about large groups of people. He cares about the numbers. If we talk about 3 billion people who don't have access to the gospel, God cares about every one of them. We look at Paul in Acts. He's preaching the gospel. Does he go out to the countryside? No, he goes to the city, and why? It seems to be because that's where people are. Not to the middle of nowhere, but to the cities. So why would Christy and I go to an unreached group when we could actually maybe go to a city or stay here in the States and maybe see more people saved short term? Why are we going? So just to be clear, I'm not saying that we have to save every person or that every person will trust Christ. That's not our responsibility. God's plan doesn't seem to be that every person will be saved, although he's not willing for anyone that they should perish. God's plan, again, specifically, is for people from all groups in the world to know him. That's why we're going. How do I know that he's going to save people from all groups? I know from Genesis, like we've seen. I know from Matthew, and I know from Revelation 5:9. Revelation 5 says, "The saints sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you,'" talking to Jesus, "you were slain. By your blood, you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Is that clear enough? That's clear enough for me. He says it 4 different ways. Every tribe and language and people and nation. That means part of God's plan is not just that more people will be saved, although that's what he wants as well. Part of God's plan is that his glory would spread to all the earth, to all peoples, to people that haven't heard, to people that aren't in touch with Christianity in any way, shape, or form. God's will is for them to hear the gospel. We see Paul writing in Romans, how will they believe except they hear? How will they hear unless someone preaches? How will they preach unless they be sent? So that's why we're going. I'm also not saying this morning that everyone should go. I talked in Sunday school about a dear friend who's committed himself to sending well. And so I do want to encourage you, consider sending, or consider going. Yes, you should consider going, especially if you're younger. You should consider going across the world. I'm very excited to go. It's going to be hard, but I want to encourage you to consider that. And if you're not going, God still has called you to be part of his work, and you all know this. You all know that you're to be senders. I would encourage you, keep learning how to send well. Keep learning how to love gospel workers well. Keep learning how to love each other well. Keep learning what it means to send. Keep learning what it means to do gospel work effectively overseas so that you can keep growing as a church in sending. Again, you can talk to me or Christy. You can talk to Pastor Jeremy, and we'd be happy to give you resources, Bible passages, other books or articles, messages to listen to that would help you know how to be a sender, more equipped. It's helpful for me to think about gospel workers from, say 300 years ago. So 300 years ago, Christianity was mostly in Europe and in America. And imagine if people back then had said, okay, God wants to save people, so let's stay and preach the gospel where it's easier. Now, it's not easy anywhere, but some places it's easier. So imagine 300 years ago, these great missionaries, David Livingstone, William Carey, maybe they had said, we're going to see more fruit here. We don't need to go. That's a lot of wise, faithful men and women. They're very hardworking. So they would have seen a lot of fruit if they had stayed where they were. They would have seen God's Spirit work. But if they hadn't gone, what would the world be like today? You know, there's more Christians south of the equator than there are north of the equator right now, by a long shot. More Christians south of the equator than north of the equator. And that's because men and women went. They went to hard places where it was hard to see fruit. And that's what we get to be a part of today. I still rejoice in people like my friend Luke. He's going to a place where it's kind of middle. So it's definitely not easy. It's a hard place there in Malta, in the Mediterranean. It's definitely not easy work, but it's also not unreached. We want to go one step beyond that. Just like Paul said, I want to go where the gospel has not been preached. So I'm not saying stop all of these good things over here, but I am saying we also need to wake up and have a heart towards people that have never heard the gospel. A statistic that shocks me every time I hear about it is out of the many, many thousands and maybe millions of dollars that Christians give towards missions, praise God for all of that, but over 99% of it goes towards work that's in places where the gospel already is. People groups that are already reached, at least in some sense. And again, don't stop any of that 99%, but we need more than 1% going towards unreached people groups. This is part of God's plan for the nations. And I encourage you later today or later this week, study through these passages, study through the scriptures, and you'll see that God's heart is for the nations. That's why we're going. And I want to close up this morning by looking at Revelation chapter 22. We've gone all the way from Genesis 1 to the last chapter in the Bible, Revelation 22. It says, then the angel showed me the river. So where did we see a river last? In the Garden of Eden. And now in the new creation, the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. And then what does it say? Look down there. The leaves of the tree were for the healing, what? Of the nations. God's plan from first to last is for people from all nations, all tribes, all languages, all people groups to know him. So let's do that. Let's be part of that this morning in whatever ways we can, whether that's by learning. Maybe you want to learn more about what it means to go. Maybe you want to learn more about what it means to send. I just want our hearts to be filled both by the goodness of God this morning and by the need that exists around the world. I want us to be stirred up this morning. Mission flows from the church. So let's stir each other up. Let's encourage each other to be working in ministry here in Elko. And let's point our eyes also to the ends of the earth, to people that have never heard. Maybe the end result for you this morning is going to be that you'll end up going, either short-term or long-term. And to that, I would say, praise God. We're specifically praying that God would raise up somebody after us who would also go, because we're going around and sharing these things. We're praying that God would raise up at least one more person after us to go and be part of this work. Maybe it's going to lead towards giving. Maybe it's going to lead towards praying in a new way.